Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look at the Detroit Lions roster post-draft. Where does it stand as the Lions work towards finalizing that 90-man roster? We'll analyze each position, plus preview the rookie mini camp coming up later this week, and touch on the upcoming schedule release. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone. This is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players at the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Good to have you here, Coach.
Great to be here, Matt.
Well, Coach, the draft has come and gone. The Lions have added six players through the draft. The first two draft picks were defensive back Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, Enos Rakestraw out of Missouri. That met one of the biggest needs with the most talent in the draft. Jumped over to the fourth round. The Lions added offensive tackle out of British Columbia, Giovanni Manu. They added Sione Vaki out of Utah, running back slash safety. Sounds more like a running back for right now. And then they got some steals late with defensive tackle Mecky Wingo from LSU and Christian Mahogany out of Boston College on the offensive line. So, Coach, let's start breaking this thing down. Let's start with the offensive line. The Lions have five starters coming back. Well, four starters coming back, plus they signed Kevin Zeitler to be their fifth starter, replacing the Jonah Jackson spot. Dan Skipper returns. Colby Sorsdahl returns. And so does Coyote Awashika. They've added Giovanni Manu, Christian Mahogany. How are you viewing the offensive line at this point, Coach?
Well, I know Skipper won't be the biggest one anymore.
That's something, too.
I think Giovanni took that over. You know, it's kind of funny. You're looking at that about depth and with the two young guys we had last year that played. And, you know, Skipper's going to stay around because he's got a great scene. You know, Giovanni's, you know, a big, giant beast. I mean, 350 pounds, ran a 5.06. You know, he kind of reminds me of Jake Witt, who Bull Rush represents, who the Colts picked last year out of Northern Michigan. Another big, long, athletic offensive lineman that, you know, they can produce and turn into an NFL player. And I think that's what the thing is with Giovanni's going to be, and hopefully the same thing with Witt. So I think it's a great addition. Somebody that size, I know some GMs were saying Brad Holmes was being cocky by trading up to grab him and stuff like that. I'm never going to doubt what he does when he trades up, because we've got some pretty good players. Mahogany is a man. For him to be in the seventh round is a shocker. He had 687 snaps without a sack or a quarterback pressure. I mean, he's a mauler. I think Brad Holmes said he's got dirt bag in his style. I read a thing about how happy he is. You know, things turned out the way they did, and he's so happy he's with the Detroit Lions, because, you know, he's going to be, those young guys are going to learn under, hands down, the best offense line in the NFL. Hands down. I don't care who says anybody. We know we're Lions people. I'm a football fan, football coach. There's not a better line to learn from these young guys to learn from. So two great additions, and they're definitely going to help us in the long run.
Yeah, getting Mahogany in the six was an amazing steal, if you will, yeah. Getting that value that late. I am actually feeling very good about our offensive line with the additions of these guys. And hopefully we see a step forward from Kobe Sorsdahl. And I'm feeling pretty good about our offensive line.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. Now we got depth. And I think, and again, Sorsdahl and Awuseka, is that how you say it? You
know, those two guys. Yeah.
Awuseka. There we go. I guess I don't pronounce it the way it looks. But, you know, those guys played last year. They played in critical situations last year and stepped up and did some good things. Yeah. There were some growing pains. They were rookies and you know, Sorsdahl, but man, they're going to learn from it. They know. And again, the Lions have built, you know, from the bottom up or top down, whatever, and the depth that we have, the knowledge that we have, the athleticism that we have above, they're going to take every one of those guys under their wings. At any given time, we're going to be in great shape. You know, last year, how many times did we actually start our starting five together? I think, you know, when I talked about it, and I feel so much better right now going into the season with our depth at O-line.
Yeah. There are so many times where it wasn't quite at full strength. And I'm feeling very good where it's at right now, heading into rookie mini camp and the off season at this point. Let's take a step back. Let's go to the person right behind the center, quarterback, QB, number 16, Jared Goff. We know he's the guy. He took all the snaps last year. It looks like we're going to have a different backup this year, which is what we were all expecting. Hendon Hooker is the number two quarterback. It looks like going in, that's what we're expecting. And that puts right now the only other guy on the roster is Nate Sudfeld as our potential number three, possibly our likely number three. The question here is, we're going to need a number four quarterback going into the camp, right, Coach? I mean, that's what they did last year with Martinez. You'd expect the Lions to get another camp arm going in at minimum. Is that accurate?
I think so. And again, I'm not sure how they look at that. They could have picked the fourth last year just because of Hendon Hooker and because, you know, injuries and stuff like that with him not going to, you know, probably going to be able to play. You know, I'm sure that, you know, that 90-man roster, you want to have four Qs on there just so that you can, you know, see where your depth is. You know, last year we ended up getting one late too. So who knows when they're, you know, oh my God, number 50.
Teddy.
Thank you, Bridgewater. And so Teddy came in late and they signed him late and, you know, in camp and stuff like that. So again, you know, who knows how they're going to play that situation.
Well, Coach, let me ask you this. You know, Goff, again, has been pretty dependable, reliable, and healthy. We've got Hendon Hooker as our backup. You know, we went in last year saying we needed a good backup. That's why they went and got Teddy Bridgewater. Two questions, I guess, one or the other. Do you think the Lions need to have a veteran that could step in if Goff were to get injured? Or do you think that, hey, if Goff does get injured, it's all on Hendon Hooker at this point, and he just goes in? Well, what's kind of your feeling going into the season as like the best case scenario?
Well, that'll all play itself out, I think, in the preseason games. If Hendon shows that he can handle that situation, the Lions are definitely going to say, hey, we're riding with him. We don't need to bring another guy in. You know, if he struggles, he has a problem, or somebody gets hurt, then yeah, there may go to it. But I think they kind of set that tone last year at the end of the season when they activated him so that they could get those practices with him when he got healthy. And that's a huge sign of their saying, you know, now they're not going into preseason with him not having any of those 53-man roster practices. So I think that'll all play into the situation. And again, once those three preseason games are done, that'll determine how they're going to address the quarterback situation for the season.
That's an excellent point. They have a much better idea of what they have on hand. And they've said, you know, Hendon's progressing. That's what they said throughout the end of last year. And that's what they wanted to see. And you're right. Now they know what they have going in. And we talked about this last year. If you could have Hendon Hooker as your number two, you have a very inexpensive number two quarterback, which helps keep the quarterback room at a better cost-effective ratio for the rest of the team. So it'll be interesting to see how minicamp, OTAs, and all that plays out. And we'll see. Like you said, depending on how things go, you might see an adjustment made or you might see them stay status quo.
Yep, for sure.
All right, let's go to running back. Again, another spot that at top, there's not a lot of adjustment. We know David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs are going to be the top two. I think we feel really good about that. And then it gets a little murky here. We do not currently have a fullback on the roster. The Lions have re-signed Zonovan Knight. They have Craig Reynolds, and they drafted Sione Vaki, who mostly a safety, played a little bit of running back. The Lions are intrigued about his running back skills, and they want to see what he can do at running back. I'm excited about this running back room. I'm really excited about the potential. I love the top two, which most people do, but I think these next three guys, and I think there's a chance the Lions could keep two out of the three. I think it's going to be a really fun, interesting battle.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, Knight's got to come back, you know, off an injury. We know what we get out of Craig Reynolds. You know, there's a couple other guys. Vaki he's a wild card. You know, the big thing about him is, you know, he can play safety. He can play running back. You know, they say he doesn't have breakaway speed, but he loves to hit you. Are they going to try to turn him into a fullback? And again, we have to take into consideration special teams and the kickoff new rules changes and stuff like that. So, you know, that's he was a flyer, I think, on punt. You know, I mean, he was on kickoff. And, you know, so he fills a huge void in that situation. And then plus he's, you know, there's so many different things that he can do. And again, I really believe you're going to see four of those guys, because he's kind of a wild card with offense, defense, special teams. Can he play fullback? And, you know, the other guys, Craig Reynolds, you know, again, those guys can play special teams too, but Vaki can also fill in at safety if we need it. So, you know, he's in great shape. He's drafted. They brought him in for that reason. And he's, you know, just got so much skill level on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think anybody would be shocked if any of the six draft picks from this year did not make the squad. I think it's pretty assumed that that's going to happen. And Vaki's versatility, and like you said, some of the unknown, the intrigue behind him, makes him a very great candidate for that spot, and the versatility to do the special teams. Because, you know, Brad Holmes even talked about that's part of the reason they didn't draft a receiver, is they needed to make sure if they drafted somebody late, they could do special teams. And if they didn't have both, it could be a miss. And so the running back room looks really good, though. And it's not just top heavy. It looks really good.
Yep, top to bottom. And then whoever ends up on the practice squad, there's just on any of those guys, you know, we definitely got somebody we can use and bring up when need be.
For sure. Well, let's move over to tight end. There's not a whole lot of change, although there was the potential for change here. We have Sam Laporta as our top guy. We have Brock Wright, James Mitchell, and Shane Zylstra. Those are the four tight ends. Now, Zylstra got hurt early last year in training camp, and that was interesting because we didn't know who was going to make the roster or not with him and Wright and Mitchell. And now it looks like there's a chance. We talked about carrying four running backs without the fullback position. They could carry four tight ends instead of having that fullback position, because they don't currently have a fullback signed. Now, staying with the tight end position, the Lions are also bringing in a free agent, undrafted free agent, Isaac Rex out of BYU. He'll be the fifth guy for right now. I like our tight end room. I thought it was solid last year. I'd like to see Zylstra after this injury to see what he can do. I feel really comfortable and confident with our tight end position.
For sure. Zylstra was making a move in training camp, and then he got that, you know, got hit, cut low or whatever. And yeah. So we already know what Brock Wright can do. You know, Mitchell started getting better. You know, he got more reps, you know, after Brock Wright was injured too, right? So Mitchell got some more reps on that. So it's helped out. You know, we matched Brock Wright's contract with the 49ers. So that tells you how much the Lions care about him and how much he can help the team. So, So they're going to have to try to find that fullback guy, and that fullback guy is going to need to be able to play special teams too, as we know. So, you know, there's another one, you know, between that safety position, with the rookie, and then with, you know, with our tight end concept with, you know, four of those guys, we're in pretty good shape there too. Again, you know, Laporta's going to be a second year guy. We weren't sure what we knew. He was going to be pretty good if the Lions drafted him where they drafted him, but he kind of rose above. I don't think there's many people that predicted he was going to have the season he had, but oh my gosh. So So again, huge room, and it's really weird how the tight end room is going to look really good. Wasn't Dan Campbell a tight end too for the Lions?
You know, it's almost like he's trying building it in part of his image. And, you know, the Lions matching that 3-year offer on Brock Wright for the 49ers was huge, because if he's out of that room, then you've got a lot more questions, you know, as far as the depth goes. And so you just feel solid. So, Coach, we've talked about all the positions that just seem really good. There doesn't really seem to be any really wonderings. So let's move to the last spot on the offense, and that's the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. We currently have the second highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was the highest paid. We return Jamison Williams, Khalif Raymond. We have Donovan Peoples-Jones back on a one-year deal, Antoine Green, the late-round rookie from last year. We have Traquan Smith, Maurice Alexander, Tom Kennedy. We have signed undrafted free agent Isaiah Williams. And so my initial thoughts on some of this is, we know how good St. Brown is. He's obviously a top, what, 5 wide receiver in the NFL. I think that's kind of a fair thing to put him at. We come into this season with Jamison Williams being better than he was a year ago at this point. He still has only, like, what, 25 career catches, something like that. We do lose Josh Reynolds. And so, you know, that Josh Reynolds was a solid number 3 receiver. So what are some of your takes on this receiver room and the depth? And I've got some thoughts to share as well.
Well, you know, Reynolds is a huge loss. We know that. But Peoples-Jones, he can do so many things for us. Again, he's another one of those. He was returning punts for us last year. You know, he's long. He had 700-800 yards, something like that, in Cleveland 2 years ago. I mean, he's a home guy. I mean, there's a reason that they re-signed him. There's a reason we got him. I mean, we got him last year cheap, and, you know, and at the trade deadline, and everybody's like, oh, why did we do that? Why didn't we get a DN? Well, I think he's gonna have a huge role for us. Green, I still think Green is going to have, another long with skilled, fast guy. I think he's gonna start getting some more reps. We're still getting hits on J-Mo from people, but I'm not going to predict he's going to break out this year, but you know what? He is a very good football player. If he's healthy and he's on the field and he's fast, he opens up the best receiver. Well, maybe top 5, but, and you and me both believe it, St. Brown's the number 1. You know, it's going to open things up for him, because he can take the top off, and Williams can do the reverse stuff. You know, so I don't think it's, you know, the guys that they brought in. And again, Tom Kennedy has been around for about 67 years, it seems like. You know, he's always there, you know. And granted, he didn't get any reps last year. I mean, he probably got a few, but, you know. So I think the room's deeper than people believe. I think Peoples-Jones is going to have a great year. That's the one I predict. He's going to be our wild card guy. And all the other guys are going to fit in and do exactly what they do best, and that's catch balls. And each one of those guys that we talked about love to block. And that's, you know, what is it? No block, no rock is the old MO for the wide receivers. So I don't know if we need to go out, and we can get a veteran if we need to, you know, after training camp. You know, I mean, there's enough guys that are still sitting out there. So why spend the money on a free agent when we have enough guys in the building that can do what we need to do? I think our offense was pretty good last year, so I think it's going to be better this year.
Yeah, I'm optimistic about it still. I just worry, if you were to get an injury to St. Brown or Jamison Williams, where is the depth? Now, I think the key right now is Donovan Peoples-Jones. I've heard people say, well, they signed him to such an inexpensive contract. How can you rely on a guy like that? I would say, don't look at the contract. That doesn't tell you the whole story. It might tell you where he is right now as far as coming off a down year because of what happened in Cleveland and then being traded midseason. But you're right. He put up some solid stats 2 years ago. And this is one of those prove it deals from Brad Holmes. And this one really does have the potential to pay off. I mean, if Donovan Peoples-Jones could develop into a number 2 receiver and pick up 55 or 60 catches this season for 700 or 800 yards and a handful of touchdowns, that could be a game changer. If Antoine Green can take a step forward, those are your 2 taller receivers on this team right now. And so I'm hopeful for the development, especially of Peoples Jones, because he has done some stuff in the past. If I'm trying to say what should the Lions, what would I like them to do? I go back to, you know, a year ago when they signed Marvin Jones, and it didn't work out, but we still thought we needed a little something. Now, J-Mo should be a little bit better this year than he was last year because he's got a year under his belt, you know, majority of a year. And so I've been hoping the Lions would bring in that veteran. And if I look at who's left, it's really slim pickings. And I would say there's probably only two guys I would consider bringing back at this point, or bringing in. One, Tyler Boyd. He's probably the top-ranked free agent veteran wide receiver out there. I'd only bring him in if the price is right. I was kind of hoping for a DJ Shark reunion, but he went to the Chargers. That makes sense. He needs to have a good season and get a paycheck before he gets too much older. So that makes sense going with Herbert. But Tyler Boyd is a guy I'd be interested in. And then if there was one other guy I'd be interested in, this might surprise a lot of people because the name's not going to wow you, but it would be Allen Robinson, the former Pittsburgh, former Rams, former Chicago Bears guy, because he's got some size. He wouldn't be asked to do too much. His numbers haven't been great the last 2 years, but last year, Pittsburgh's passing offense was a mess. The year before when he was with the Rams, Stafford got hurt that year. The Rams offense was a mess. So I think he still has a little something. He's a guy you could bring in as a veteran that wouldn't cost too much, but could just add a little stability in the depth category for the receiver room.
Yep, for sure. I totally agree with you on all those. And I, you know, and again, it's that getting that guy in there that's either trying to earn another paycheck or getting that guy in there that doesn't want to make this last paycheck. And I think a lot of money motivates a lot of people. And again, we are talking about the great game of football, but we also still have to look at the money thing. And that's, go back to Peoples Jones. That's the thing I'm seeing with him. He is going to, you know, and again, preseason is going to determine where he's at. And we all, do we need him? If he's as good as Reynolds, we're in great shape. If he produces a little bit more, look out. So here we go.
And Peoples Jones at this point, this season, does have a higher ceiling than Josh Reynolds did. Now, the floor isn't there yet. Reynolds left Detroit with a higher floor than Peoples Jones, but you're exactly right. Donovan Peoples-Jones is the big question mark in the receiving room, and if he can realize or re-realize some of that potential, this offense really could get scary good again for another season in a row. So let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Let's start with the defensive line. We've got Aiden Hutchinson, Ali McNeil, DJ Reader, and Marcus Davenport, kind of like those are your front four. Those are your main four guys. Some depth. You've got Levi Onwuzurike. You've got Broderick Martin. You've got John Kaminsky coming back. You've got Josh Pascal. The Lions brought in Matthew Betts. They have Mackay Wingo. Those are a number of additions the Lions have made on the defense. And so give me some of your thoughts on how you're feeling about the front line of the defense right now, Coach.
Excited. You know, Davenport, again, you know, had some, you know, numbers were down. And he's going to be another one of those guys that's out there to say, I can play in this league. I am really good at this league. We talked about these guys before. We don't have to talk about Reader, you know, McNeil, Hutch. I think with Reader and Davenport, it's going to turn Hutch back on, you know, Pascal and Kaminsky. Of course, you know how much I love that guy. Levi has better have a great year. And nothing against him. I know he's had injuries and stuff like that, but Wingo is a dog. I mean, I'm sorry. Reading on him, permanent captain for LSU, character up the wazoo with his character. Oh my God. I read all the accolades and things he had. He could have easily sat out from that groin injury that he got hurt during the year, yet he worked himself back to play in the bowl game. Okay, was it to show that he could still play? No, everybody knew he could still play. And then did you watch that bowl game? Wisconsin remembers him because that dude put pressure on there and talk about, and again, he's an inside-outside guy. He could play, you know, he could play nose, play three, he could play end, you know, which kind of that Kaminsky concept. to where we can use him and move him around. And again, all he talks about is, oh my God, I'm going to be with McNeil. Oh my God, I'm going to be with Reeder. So, you know, I mean, talk about, that depth content. Broderick Martin, we got him in for a reason. You know, it'll be interesting to see what his body looks like coming back, because he said he was going to go to that McNeil, the McNeil diet or whatever. You know, I mean, he talked about that. So,
yeah.
You know, if all those things come together with those guys, look out. I mean, our defensive line is shaping up. And again, we're a little biased because we're huge Lions fans, but reading and researching and looking at it, it's shaping up to be one of the best in the league. You know, we don't have the big, huge flash guy or this guy or that, but we have a lot of blue collar grunt guys that are just going to dig deep and play as hard as they possibly can and create havoc so that Hutch can have his sacks. And again, McNeil now after last year, oh my God, he's going to have a breakout. I don't like predicting things like that. I think he's going to be all pro. Okay. I honestly believe that McNeil is going to be all pro because of how much he wants to. And of course him and Reeder together is going to be unbelievable. And again, we can go back to these guys. You can see pretty excited with them again. You know, Chris Smith is back, but here's the other thing. Again, we have the best defensive line coach in the league.
That's what I was waiting to get to, Coach Terrell Williams. That is the secret weapon right there, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. I mean, that guy, the things he's done with guys and what they talked about and the different things is these guys are going to flourish under him, man. They're going to take any of their little flaws and he's going to turn them into, I'm excited. Just can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the Terrell Williams addition. Again, I know Marcus Davenport might cause some caution for some people because they're unsure of his health and whatnot and how well he can contribute for an entire season. But I think we have a lot of different pieces, and the Lions like to rotate different packages. I think the DJ Reeder addition is huge because that's going to be the biggest change in the middle. So you have him and McNeil next to each other. I'm actually really optimistic on this defensive line as it is right now, even without any other additions. So let's move to the next level of the defense, Coach. That's linebacker. We know we've got Jack Campbell, Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes, Jalen Reeves-Maybin, and Malcolm Rodriguez back. Our top five guys from last year are back. Of course, we lost Pittman, who was a good special teams guy as well. We are bringing in an undrafted free agent linebacker or two. I know one out of Northern Illinois. What are your thoughts on the linebacking room?
Well, the other one they brought in is Steel Chambers.
Yes, that guy, him too. Forgot about that.
I was surprised he went undrafted. I mean, I watched a lot of his games and stuff like that. Plus, if the dude's name is Steel Chambers, he should be drafted. He's got the perfect linebacker name. You know, I mean, it's just but he's definitely going to add to it. You know, again, the top five guys that we talk about, you know, Reeves-Maybin is again, the things he can do for us on special teams. He's the best special team player in the league, but he can back up, come in and step in at any position and help us out and make plays. So again, the package concept, you know, Rodrigo was a starter, 2 years ago as a rookie. And now he's behind the trying to get starting time. I mean, we did play at him as a little fullback last year. So I think we've gotten deeper in that concept. Years under their belt now that, you know, Campbell's got that. He's going into his second year. Rodrigo's going into his third year. So those, and I think Barnes is in his fourth year, right? Or is it his fifth?
I don't remember. I think you're in the ballpark on that, though. Or
it might be his fifth. So, you know, those again, they're together. And we saw what AG was doing defensively, where he was going packages and doing down to distance packages. And then he was just doing, then he was doing personnel packages. Right now, the way things are shaping up, we can go down to distance or personnel packages because we can match up with anybody. That's my that level.
And the person I didn't even mention yet was James Houston, who's considered a linebacker, but can play. And I mean, that's another guy that adds so much versatility to this defense.
Oh yeah, for sure. And again, we don't know what are they going to do with him, man. Is he just going to be in that NASCAR package or whatever, where he's just going to rush, or, you know, he was dropping into pass coverage and stuff like that. So, you know, and again, like you said, the D-line coach, the DN coach, all those guys, they just got so many great tools to work with. And it's going to be fun to watch how they develop and how they start moving these guys around.
Well, let's move to the back area of the defense, the secondary. Let's start with the defensive backs. The Lions traded for Carlton Davis. They signed Amik Robertson. Then they drafted Terrion Arnold and Enos Rakestraw. That's their top four. And then you've got Emmanuel Mosley coming off injury at five. Kendo Wilder's been brought back. I was happy about that move. He is the number six deep defensive back going in. He was our number two in the NFC Championship game. Now, Coach, I got excited last year with some of the moves. And, you know, Brian Branch is a defensive back, yet nickelback, yet we might see him move to safety, but let's put his name in here as well. I was excited last year with the moves after we got Branch and we had gotten Sutton and we got C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It just didn't quite work out. But if you're a Lions fan, you've got to feel really good about this defensive secondary because we got two really young guys that are highly regarded talents coming into the NFL. Plus, we've got some experienced guys with Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson. I'm loving the depth, and I'm just loving the type of players the Lions have brought together. How are you feeling about the defensive backs?
A lot better than last year, and I was excited about last year. I think the character, Robertson is a huge thing. You know, they're talking about Arnold's going to start, or he's not going to start. Is Robinson going to start? Vildor was their starter last year. Now we got a guy that can come in. We don't have to put so much pressure on him in that situation when you start talking about them. Let's talk about the two draft kids. Arnold, okay, Miss Terry's favorite player of all times at Alabama. That would be Nick Saban's wife. Arnold over at Saban's house for dinner. Arnold sitting next to Saban nonstop during film sessions. Arnold, you know, is a better corner than Kool-Aid, shocker, which going into the season, nobody thought of that. And again, I don't say who it is. Rickenstraw, again, he's the guy that he is a St. Brown type character. Okay. And I don't know if you know the story about him. He was 139 pounds, went to an elite camp. He drove 4 hours to go to this combine or this elite camp. They sent him away. They told him he wasn't big enough to play. So he took that under his belt. Look what he built himself into. He's a hitter. He's a high character. And again, inside, outside, nickel, corner, wide side, backside, who cares? Those guys can play at any side we want them to play at. And they're both high character. Again, did we not trade up to get Arnold?
We did, because we didn't think he was going to even fall that far. We didn't even think it was going to be an option. And so he was, you know, no debate, top two defensive back in the draft. Some had him one, some had him two. But this could not have worked out better for the Lions secondary. And we're going to need that based on some of the other receivers in our division.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, and again, it's turned out pretty well when we trade up to grab an Alabama guy. It's really weird. So you're looking at these high character guys fitting in with what we already have. You know, I think Robertson's going to be fun. I mean, that guy's like, what do you need to draft anybody for? Davis, I'm here, you know. I mean, he's going to be another big addition. The camps are going to be electrifying with those guys competing for playing time. But I also think each and every one of these guys in this room, granted that everybody wants to start, but I think these guys would easily say, all right, I'm on this package. I'm going to get 22 reps. Man, am I going to ball out for 22 reps, because the big picture is playing on Super Bowl Sunday. And so I'm really, really excited about this whole group from that. And, you know, we don't talk about Mosley, but, oh, my God, if he comes back and plays at the level he played at prior to his injuries, wow. It's going to be pretty good backfield. God bless.
Yeah. And you know what? There's not pressure on Mosley like there was a year ago when they needed him right away. No, he can be the number five guy and work his way in. And so that gives so much depth to the secondary for the defensive backs. All right, Coach, well, let's move further back in the secondary from the defensive backs to the safety position. Now, we mentioned there's a chance the Lions could use Brian Branch at part of that position. But we also know the guys going in that we're expecting are Ifeatu Melifonwu and Kirby Joseph. Those guys were the main starters towards the end of the season. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who worked his way back miraculously from injury, is no longer there. Tracy Walker is not currently on the roster. So we have Brandon Joseph. We don't have a lot of depth at this position. We have next to zero depth at this position right now. What are your thoughts? What's your vision of the safety room right now for the Lions?
Well, I mean, I think Rick Strzok can play safety also, you know, but I think he's, you know, boundary corner or whatever. Branch is going to be the one that's probably going to be backing up in that situation, and they're going to probably use as much. They may have to bring a veteran in just to get some more depth there, or at least somebody back. You know, Trace Walker would be the perfect guy because he knows the system and he could back him up, but, you know, without a problem. So it'll be interesting to see how they, again, there's so much depth at the corner position. You know, that, you know, with the safety position with Brian Branch being able to move back and forth, because they've always talked that he's been a safety, that, you know, he may do that. You know, he's going to have to be on the field. You know, he's not going to not be on the field. So maybe they use him in some different passing situations back there as well, to help get some more depth back there. But I still think, and, you know, is Brandon Joseph going to walk into that spot, you know? Does he have a shot to be that third guy? You know, going into the playoffs and stuff like that, we were rolling those three guys, and we using, you know, CJ or Ducey, whatever, as in certain situations. So not feared at the position because it's locked down with the two starters and the third guy that could easily fill in, that we wouldn't fall off with Brian Branch. But I still think they're going to have to go out and grab somebody, veteran to help back that up.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those assessments there. They have a lot of flexibility and guys they can move around. I think most Lions fans are of the opinion you need to bring in a veteran. We need some depth. And there's a few different options out there. Tracy Walker is someone you could bring in to be your number three, maybe your number four defensive or four safety. You know, someone down the depth chart. He didn't quite fully return to his old form since that Achilles injury, but he knows the system. He's a player that they know what they're getting out of him, and he would be a great depth piece with experience. The two guys out there that I think a lot of people would love, one, Quandre Diggs seems to be a very, very loud call going out to him from Lions fans via social media and whatnot. He did take a step back in his performance last year with Seattle, but he's available, and he would probably be at a somewhat reasonable price, whether it's a one-year, two-year deal, and he would bring some veteran presence. And if the Lions wanted to do some sort of a crazy all-in move, that's when you go after a guy like Justin Simmons. And that right. would be an all-in move. That would be, hey, we're going to make sure that we have a very, very good safety back here, three deep, so they could run some of those three deep things you talked about, and it gives you a little bit of insulation that if you have an injury, you don't have as much of a drop off. Now, I'm not expecting them to get Justin Simmons, but if they went and got Walker and Diggs and brought those two guys in, I would feel really good about our safety position.
Oh, for sure. And I think we need a backup. Those two young guys, they're going to need, you know, definitely more experience. Of course, it'd be nice to have a veteran behind them, helping them, you know, kind of like what the D-line will be doing with veterans in front of them, helping the young guys. We all know that. The best teams are, you know, peer team where the teammates are teaching on the field as well. So, but it's somebody that's going to come in and be a backup and not ruffle any feathers or create any problems or concerns in the locker room.
Yeah, they've got to under. It's got to be the right fit as we go all the way back to what we've talked about for a year. And Diggs and Walker could be those guys. Again, that's the area where we need some more guys and we want some quality guys brought in there because we don't have a lot of depth currently. Mm-hmm. Coach, let's talk about special teams for a moment, and let's talk about the kicker position, a position that, I don't know, probably has driven Lions fans crazy since since Matt Prater left the building. And we tried to talk Jason Hansen out of retirement last year. But they've got Mike Badgley, and he's a solid guy. He's actually pretty solid and done well, and the Lions brought him back. They also brought in James Turner, the Michigan kicker from last year. He's an undrafted free agent. And then everybody is screaming for Michigan Panthers' Jake Bates. And there's going to be a lineup to get this guy into training camp. I wouldn't be shocked if a half a dozen teams go after him from the NFL.
Oh, I agree. Didn't he kick another 60-yarder last week?
Yeah. And I don't know how many field goals he kicked, but he kicked enough for them to win the game. And so this guy's going somewhere. Now, no one can actually talk to him officially until the season's over. The season ends June 1st, but the championship game is like June 17th. So I think June 17th might be the first time people can talk to him. But there'll be people bidding on his services, and I will be surprised if he's not in the NFL next year.
I agree. And I'm just hoping that he bought a house now that he's playing for the Panthers real close to Ford Field, and that he really likes the area and his family loves the area.
That would be a bonus. You know, he's kicking in Ford Field. It's, you know, there's a lot of great things to sell him on for staying around here. So we'll have to see, monitor that, but the Lions have two guys, and they might be adding a third one in June. We'll see what happens. But before we get to June, we've got rookie mini camp coming up. It's coming up the end of the week, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. At the end of the week, the Lions are welcoming rookies, undrafted free agents. Plus, there's some other camp invitees who are looking to make the 90-man roster. Now, Coach, it's going to be a lot tougher for some undrafted free agents to make that final 53-man roster as well. We have a lot more talent than we have had in the past, but it's a great opportunity for people nonetheless. Last year, we had wide receiver Chase Kota from Oregon. We brought him in. He didn't make the final roster, but he went to Kansas City and then to Houston for their practice squads, and he's currently with the New York Giants. So let's take a look at some of the guys the Lions have brought in. We already mentioned wide receiver Isaiah Williams briefly, but he's getting a pretty sizable bonus. He's a slot guy out of Illinois, and he's a guy that has caught a lot of attention, and many people thought he was going to be drafted. There's three centers the Lions are bringing in, one out of Florida, Louisville, and UCLA. Kingsley out of Florida actually got a bonus as well. We talked about Steele Chambers. There's a handful of other guys coming in. Out of these undrafted free agents that have been brought in that are going to be working this weekend, what are some things you're looking for or hoping to hear coming out of this, and what are the Lions looking for?
Well, I think that's center position sounds like a big one. And I forgot about the Florida guy. What's his name again?
His first name is Kingsley. His last name is Eguakun. I'm messing that up, and I'm so sorry, Kingsley, but I think it's Eguakun.
Yeah. And he was another one that, I was kind of reading some stuff up on him. So, you know, I think that's the thing is they're going to need some depth, especially, Rags has had, he's had a number of injuries, and that guy's, you're going to have to carry Rags off the field, but knock on wood, hopefully that never happens. And so I think that's one of the biggest things they're going to do. And again, that, those guys, you want to be able to get in that 90 man that can make it into at least a practice squad that we know that they're going to be able to give us some depth, down the road. And that may be what, Kingsley's all about for sure, because, he did play at a high level. And so we'll see what happens to those guys.
Yeah. And, we talked about liking the depth on the offensive line, but we do want another center in there. And you've got Brian Hudson and Duke Clemens coming in as well. And I think the Lions are hoping one of those guys will elevate and be like, hey, you can be our legit backup. And that would also allow Graham to stay in his natural position and just kind of allow things to be more solidified there if they can find someone that could make that position work.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a good point on that is, Graham can slide over there anytime that comes down, which is what's going to happen. But boy, it'd be nice to be able to pluck somebody and still, the old saying is you don't move a position, screw up two positions to protect one. And, we asked you a few times, Graham did a great job at center, but then we had to bring a guard in, and then it was one of the younger guards, and things just kind of get messed up when you're dealing with two people instead of just replacing one with one. So hopefully that works out for one of those centers.
For sure. And so it'll be interesting to keep an eye on those guys. And then we've got some people who are in for just legit tryouts. They haven't been signed yet. One, a very interesting one, is defensive tackle TJ Smith. He is actually 27. He's been with the Minnesota Vikings, mostly on their practice squad. And he's coming in to try out. But then we also have Grand Valley State quarterback Cade Peterson, Northern Iowa quarterback Theo Day, Hillsdale running back Michael Herzog, and again, the guy you and I are going to be keeping a really close eye on and rooting for is Cade Peterson, the quarterback out of Grand Valley State. It's a guy we both know well. When I was coaching for you, I actually coached against Cade back when he was in middle school, and then you coached him through high school. Coach, you know, we know his record at Grand Valley State was 33-5. He was GLIAC Player of the Year, I think, two times. And so, you know, what are some things you like about Cade, and what are your thoughts on this opportunity for him?
Well, it's funny because, you know, as soon as I heard that they signed him, it was like, you'll get him right away. And it's, you know, he got into the building. And that's the thing about Cade. He's in the building. You know, Cade's 6'5". He runs well. He's 6'4.5", 6'5". He runs well. He's got a howitzer of an arm. He's got a strong freaking arm. He's tough. You know, he's mentally prepared at all times. You know, it helps. You know, his dad, Tim, was a high school coach for years. You know, so he grew up that, you know, that coach's son concept. You know, and you know, Tim was quarterback coach as well as, you know, offense coordinator, head coach, stuff like that. So I think that's going to help Cade big time when it goes into that, you know, when they give him that playbook the first day and say, figure this stuff out. Cade's going to know how to divide it. He started all those games with GV, you know, so I think it's going to be a big for him. Hey, he even played a game in Ford Field. I think that
he did.
I think that was a state championship in 2017. I can't remember who was on that team, but I think it was at Glen Lake. So anyways, so I think that's a big plus for Cade, you know, from that situation. And, you know, he's given the opportunity. He's going to take every opportunity he has to show everybody that he belongs, and he'll leave it all out on the table. And when he walks out of there, whether he makes it or not, he knows he's going to do what he had to do to try to make the squad.
Well, that's exciting. I love the full circle thing too, because I was obviously at that game at Ford Field in the state championship game. And if I go all the way back to middle school, man, I don't remember seeing a middle school team air the ball out the way his team aired the ball out. They were throwing more than they were running. And I'm like, this is middle school. So you knew you had something special young way back then. And so it's really exciting for him to see him get this opportunity. And like you said, just get your shot, get your foot in the door. I mean, it happened to Dylan Drummond last year, right? He was a training camp guy, and he made it through a tryout, and he nearly made the 53-man roster. And so, you know, he was there. He was playing preseason. And that's the other thing, too, is if you get in and you play preseason, it gives other teams a chance to see what you can do. And we talked about this earlier, Coach. We're pretty sure the Lions are going to want to probably have four quarterbacks going early in the off season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's, again, you know, it depends how the OTAs and everything go with Hendon Hooker, but I think those will make decisions on that, you know, whether they're going to go with three or four. You know, and again, they have two, you know, they brought Theo Day in too as a quarterback, you know, Michigan State guy, Northern Iowa guy, but he's a Michigan born in Michigan. I think he played in, I want to say Divine Child or somewhere like that. I believe that could be wrong and putting somebody else in there. But so I think, you know, when you're bringing two guys in, two QBs in, you know, with local ties, but also they've heard, read, and seen film on them numerous times. It's a sign that they may be looking for that fourth guy.
That makes a lot of sense. And yes, Coach, you are correct on Theo Day and where he went to school, Divine Child. Nice call on that, doing your work.
Yes, sir.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. We'll have news coming out after the weekend to see what comes out of those the rookie mini camp. That's May 10th and 12th. After that, you have off-season workouts. You've got a couple of those in May, the 21st to the 23rd, then the end of the May, but before we hit stuff in June. But another thing we're expecting to come out next week, we don't know for sure, is going to be the schedule release. And so, Coach, I guess, any thoughts, any things you're thinking about for the schedule release coming up? Any thoughts behind that?
I think we kind of talked about a little bit, you know, who do we think they're going to come up with? I'm thinking the 49ers week one, just so that they can bring it up there. Oh my God, the NFC championship game relives. I mean, they kind of do that stuff every year. So, you know, it that could be the big one. And again, hopefully it's, you know, the Thursday night game, which probably won't be, or, you know, Sunday night, but not Monday, cause I don't want a short week going into week two already. So I just think you're going to see something like that. I mean, you could see the Rams game, you know, again, another Rams showdown, but, that would be, I think that one's in Los Angeles, right?
No, actually, we're playing the Rams in Detroit again.
Oh, yeah. So they may not do that one again. So leave, you know, leave Stafford alone. They just did a great job of donating a whole bunch of money and another facility or something like that. So yeah, it could be the Niners, you know, and who knows? I mean, again, we don't care. Last year, we were so happy when we saw we were playing the Chiefs to start the season. And I think we did okay in that game. So, you know, whoever it is, let's bring them on and let's get the season started.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get the season started, which is why we don't want the Monday night football game. You know, I would like to avoid that short week from week one to two, you know, starting on Monday night. No one wants to wait till Monday, the first week of the season. But last year, we did have that long week. We started on Thursday and we came home, and unfortunately, we lost the home opener in overtime. So the extra few days may or may not matter. I would say it does help. We know Kansas City will open on Thursday. We know Friday, I believe it's Green Bay against Philadelphia down in Brazil. So we'll have to see what happens. The Lions will be Sunday or Monday. It'll be home or the road. Here's another thing to keep in mind. The Detroit Tigers have a home game on the second Sunday of the NFL season, and that starts at 1:40. So it looks like if the Lions were to play at home the second week, it would not be a 1 o'clock Sunday game. It would likely have to be a Sunday night football or Monday night football if they were at home.
Okay.
Just because I couldn't imagine Ford Field and Comerica Park both having games at 1 o'clock and 1:40 start times.
Well, they did have 275,000 people down town last week on Thursday and Friday night. So they might be able to host it.
Actually, that's an excellent point right there. I mean, if we can put 275K down there for the draft, you're absolutely right. You know what? They could do it. So, yeah, I don't know what matchup they'll look for to start the season. The 49ers one would be pretty amazing. They often want to start the season with some interesting high-profile matchups. You know, sometimes teams have opened against each other from the same division. Like, we had Green Bay and Minnesota open against each other before. The 49ers one would be very intriguing because it would be a rematch of the NFC Championship game. They could do the Dallas game against the Lions. We're playing in Dallas again, but that would be a good one to open with if they wanted to kind of bring back that, because that had the whole Decker reported issue that took place. So I don't really know. I'm not too concerned. It'll be fun to dissect it, though, when it comes out. I will say the Lions had an amazing schedule last year. We liked the way it all fell with travel schedules and all that. We'll have to see how many primetime games we get. Be a lot to look at and dissect, but expect that to come out next week.
Mm-hmm. One thing on the draft, I was hoping that when Goodell came out onto the stage for the first time, he had the mic in. I mean, it was really cool how the Lions put all, you know, had their players out there. I've never seen that before. I don't remember that happening. But if he had walked out and said, Skipper is reported eligible, those 200,000 people would have went crazy. I was so hoping that was going to happen.
You know what? That was his moment. You're exactly right. He could have gotten cheered. If he would have said that, he would have gotten cheers for like the first time in over a decade.
Yep, for sure. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Awesome. Well, Coach, this is awesome. We talked a lot of great Lions stuff today. Got to talk about the roster depth, where we think the roster is. Again, recap, I'm hoping they bring in a veteran receiver. I'm hoping they bring in a couple veteran safeties. We'll see what happens. We'll get some more answers after this weekend. As things go forward, we'll see what happens with the schedule release as well. Thanks for joining and talking Lions, Coach.
No, oh, I really appreciate the call. And Honolulu Blue, black and blue.
Here we go. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.